Humans, gather and listen to the words of the All-Father. Long ago in the elder days of the Old North, there was an age in which mighty heroes walked this world, the likes of which shall never be seen again. This was a time of dragons, enchanted swords, and great dynasties of warriors who won everlasting fame and glory. But there is one family in particular whose great deeds, great victories, and even greater tragedies shall be remembered for all time. Sit round this fire and listen to this tale of war, love, betrayal, and murder. A story of a line of heroes whose victories drew the careful attention of a certain one-eyed god who followed their lives with close and ominous interest. Listen now to the Saga of the Volsungs.
In Viking times, a thing was a gathering, a place where leaders and warriors could meet and talk.
In the 21st century, our thing is a virtual place where history academics and enthusiasts from around the world can come together to share knowledge. We're your hosts, Miranda Schmiederer
and Lucas Norton. So hold on to your helmets for this episode of that Jorvik Viking Thing podcast. The saga of the Volsungs begins not with Volsung himself, the great king for whom this family is named, but of course with the ancestor of all the greatest and most noble lineages of the North, the one-eyed god Odin. Long ago, in forgotten days, Odin fathered a human child who went by the name of Sigi. A son who grew to be a powerful man, exceptionally skilled in all sorts of manly pursuits. Though one day, he found himself outlawed for the crime of murdering a slave. Forced to leave his home as a criminal, he thought he had nowhere to go, until his father approached him and said,
"Well met, Sigi. They may call you murderer, but you shall heed their cries no more than the wolf heeds the cries of its prey. The slave Brevi deserved what he got when he dared try to outmatch you, a son of Odin. And I shall reward you with a host of warriors and a great fleet of ships to win a new home for you to rule over far from this place. Win victory, my son. Win a kingdom of your own. And begin a line of mighty heroes. I promise I shall watch over you and your descendants with great interest."
And so Sigi sailed far away from home with the fleet and army gifted by his father, and he proved himself a mighty warlord, winning many raids and battles, and claiming the great kingdom of Hunland for himself. He raised a worthy son of his own named Rerir, and heir to his throne and all his wealth. But tragically, Sigi was unable to enjoy the spoils of war for long, as he was murdered by the treacherous, jealous brothers of his wife. And as he lay there, ruined, drowning in his own blood, a one-eyed man in a wide-brimmed hat mused,
"And so it begins. The first of this line joins me, their forefather, to serve in Valhalla. If all the men of this line are as skilled as Sigi, then perhaps there is a chance that Ragnarok shall be averted and that prophecy shall prove false."
But then he anxiously pondered,
"Unless these deeds are all in vain, the world shall continue to drift towards its fated destruction."
Rerir, son of Sigi, found his father's killers and won swift, bloody vengeance upon them before returning to rule the kingdom he had inherited. He had great wealth, lands, and a loyal retinue of warriors. But there was an emptiness in Rerir's life, for he and his wife were without a child, and they spent many years praying to the gods for a son or daughter. Luckily for them, a god was listening, watching, and plotting. And so one day, when Rerir was resting upon a burial mound, a crow swooped down upon him as if from nowhere and dropped a remarkable-looking apple. Rerir devoured this wondrous fruit before returning home to his wife, who soon found herself pregnant, and all agreed that she would birth a son to carry on the family line. Sadly, though, Rerir was not destined to meet his noble heir, for he fell in combat and joined his father Sigi in the halls of Asgard to wait together for the final battle at the end of time. Whilst his poor wife suffered a most horrific pregnancy, which lasted 6 agonizing years. Eventually, when her body could take no more of this hardship, she ordered that her belly be cut open and the child brought forth. It was a large, handsome boy, and with her dying breath, she named the child Volsung. Though orphaned, young Volsung grew to be a wise and renowned warrior king, ruling Hunland and winning glorious battles wherever he travelled with his forces. When grown, he married a Valkyrie by the name of Hljóð, the daughter of the giant Hrimnir, and unlike Volsung's parents, this couple had many, many children, 10 sons and a daughter. The eldest of the children of Volsung were twins, his daughter named Signy and his son named Sigmund. This family was talented and accomplished in every skill that they practiced. They won every battle they fought, triumphed at all sports and games, and they were wise and known to be exceptionally good-looking. To accommodate his huge family, their warriors, and all of their servants and slaves, Volsung had a magnificent hall built at the heart of the Kingdom of Hunland, a royal residence constructed around a gnarled and ancient oak tree that was known as Barenstock. Word of the glory and splendour of the family of Volsung spread far and wide across the northern lands. Some folk were awed by their magnificence, some feared the power that they wielded, whilst others were jealous and desired some small share of all that the Volsungs had won. This is what led a king named Sigir, the king of Gotaland, to seek out Volsung with a most intriguing proposition, for he said,
"Noble King Volsung, I am tragically without a wife, and word has reached me that you have a single daughter who is renowned as the most noble and beautiful woman in all the world. I offer friendship, alliance, and obedience to the mighty Volsungs in exchange for your daughter's hand in marriage, and of course, an exceptionally large dowry too."
Volsung gathered all 11 of his children beneath the branches of Barenstock to ask what they thought of the proposal, and Sigmund spoke for all the sons when he said,
"I do not know the character of this King Sigir, but a powerful king such as he will be a worthy match for my twin sister, and the union will secure a great alliance for our family."
But Signy herself said,
"I am not eager to marry this stranger. I foresee that great problems lie ahead for our family if this marriage is agreed to. But I will of course consent to your decision if you truly wish me to marry this foreign king."
King Sigir soon sailed across the sea to the lands of the Volsungs and arrived at their great hall, where a magnificent wedding feast was prepared, astonishing Sigir with the opulence of the family's wealth. The ceremony and banquet all went as planned, and even Signy smiled, banishing all thought of her troubling predictions from her mind. But then, there was an unexpected visitor. The doors to the hall suddenly swung open, thrown with unnatural force, and in the doorway stood a stranger. It was a tall and elderly one-eyed man, dressed in a spotted cloak and a wide-brimmed hat. With his one eye, He slowly surveyed the room and all who sat within it, his gaze lingering first upon Signy, and then her twin brother Sigmund. He smiled and approached the great tree Barenstock, prompting Sigmund to ask this new arrival.
"Who are you, visitor?"
And the stranger answered,
"Terror, thunder, waker and killer. I have never been known by just one name alone. You should hear what Haythrek the Wise called me after his murder."
He stroked the tree's bark for a second, searching for a spot that satisfied him, and then he drew forth a magnificent sword from his cloak, which he stabbed deep into the trunk of the tree. He turned to the confused wedding party and announced,
"I have come to bestow a gift upon this special day. I have placed a sword here deep into this ancient oak, and I shall grant it to any man who is able to pull it from the tree. He who wields it will find that no other sword in all the world is its equal. I wonder which of you shall prove worthy of its power."
Immediately, a great crowd of men left their seats, and each warrior tried with all their strength to pull the sword forth, but none could shift it an inch. King Sigurd then tried to claim it, grasping the hilt with his plump, sausage-like fingers, tugging and shaking at it, but he failed utterly before angrily shouting,
"This is my wedding, so that sword belongs to me! Chop this accursed tree down if you have to!"
But Sigmund stepped forward and cheerfully answered,
"Calm yourself, Sigurd. There are others who have not yet had the chance to claim the sword."
Sigmund then approached the great tree, grabbing the sword's hilt with a single strong hand, and with no effort at all, he pulled out the sword, which gleamed with fiery lights and astonished all who saw it. King Sigurd was most displeased and ashamed by the ease with which Sigmund had claimed the weapon. So with a full smile, he asked,
"Sigmund, it is clear that my efforts must have loosened the blade, ready for you to draw it forth. If you give the sword to me, its rightful owner, then I shall reward you 3 times its weight in gold."
Sigmund answered,
"A generous offer, but I respectfully decline. It was I who pulled the sword when all others had failed, and you shall never receive it from my hand, even if you offered me all the gold that you owe."
King Sigurd was greatly angered and humiliated by this, but he hid his emotions with false laughter and said,
"Perhaps I was not destined to own the sword this day, but I wonder how long it shall remain in your possession. The life of a warrior can be surprisingly short, after all. Stray arrows may split apart mail. A man may unexpectedly fall from his horse and break his neck. And even the most skilled swordsman can fall victim to the schemes of clever kings."
The wedding feast continued as before, though there was tension in the air, and the one-eyed stranger who had brought the sword had somehow disappeared without a trace. The next morning, King Sigurd announced,
"I have decided that I shall take my leave from your hall, as I am most eager to return to my own land, for I have matters that I must address. I know this shall cut celebrations unusually short, but to make up for this, I wish to invite you to visit me in Gotaland in 3 months from today. It would please me greatly if I were granted the opportunity to repay Volsung and all his sons for the treatment I have received here in Hunland."
As King Sigurd readied his men and their horses, Signy privately spoke with her father Volsung, and in a panic she uttered,
"I do not wish to go with this man, father. He wears friendly smiles and speaks fine words, but I sense his treachery and deceit. I think this man will bring catastrophe upon our entire family. I urge you not to trust him."
But Volsung dismissed his daughter's fears, as any woman would naturally be worried about moving to a new home with a man they barely knew. He promised he would see her again, when he came to visit in 3 months' time, and would prove that all of her fears were false. And so the moon turned thrice, and Volsung arrived on the shores of Gotaland with all 10 of his sons and a small force of men to accompany them. As they travelled through the calm forests on the path to King Sigurd's hall, a lone rider was spotted racing towards them. It was Signy, who leapt down from her horse as she approached, and she embraced her father with tears streaming down her face before revealing a dire warning.
Father, brothers, you are in terrible danger. My husband, King Sigurd, is an evil and jealous man who plots the downfall of our family. As we speak, he is assembling a mighty host of warriors summoned from all corners of Gotaland. And with this army, he will kill you all. I beg you to flee. Return home to Hunland, and then come back with all your strength. Turn this accursed kingdom into a banquet for the wolves and ravens to dine upon.
But Volsung and his sons refused to flee, for he would not have it said that the Volsungs fled in terror from an enemy, and his son Sigmund drew his gleaming sword, announcing,
"Our father swore that he would never flee in fear from iron or fire, so we, the sons of Volsung, shall fight alongside him with honour and valour. Each person must die someday, and no one can escape death when their time has come. None shall ever say that Volsung and his sons fled in fear at the prospect of death and defeat, and we shall fight in the boldest way."
Signy wept and pleaded with Volsung and her brothers to change their minds, but they refused, and ordered that she return to her husband's hall and await the outcome of the battle to come. Volsung and his sons prepared their weapons and marched onwards, where they met the forces of King Sigurd. The enemy host was gigantic, and they fell upon the warriors of Volsung like a terrifying storm of swords. The battle was long and hard, and the small group of men that Volsung had brought with him fought exceptionally well, slaying a vast number of King Sigurd's warriors. But eventually, they fell victim to the overwhelming numbers of the enemy, whilst the 10 sons of Volsung were captured and dragged away in chains. King Volsung lay bleeding to death upon the earth, impaled by the spears of the enemy. And from afar, a hooded, one-eyed man smiled and said,
"First the father, next the sons."
King Sigurd laughed when the shining sword of Sigmund was presented to him, which caused his wife Signy to bitterly announce,
"You are a most accomplished liar, husband."
To which King Sigurd replied,
"We all have our talents, my dear orphaned wife. And today, my lies and plots proved mightier than the virtues of Volsung. Volsung fought with honour. Volsung fought with valour. Volsung fought with mighty talent. And Volsung died."
He then asked his men,
"What shall be done with the sons of Volsung? Shall I hang them as offerings to Odin? Or shall I use Sigmund's precious sword to dismember them or flay them alive?"
His men offered all manner of foul, depraved ways to kill the brothers, which horrified poor Signy, who feared that she would lose all her family that day. So she blurted out,
"Husband, do not kill my brothers all at once. I know how much you enjoy the wails and groans of your prisoners, and you should savour the glorious victory that you have won on this day."
King Sigurd pondered this suggestion for a moment and responded,
"Wife, you surprise me, as I would not have guessed that you would suggest such a depraved notion. Yes, I shall do as you ask, dear wife. Keep the 10 brothers in stocks out in the forest beyond our hall. I will savour their suffering and death over 10 glorious days."
The sons of Volsung were dragged out into the wild woods, where they were laid down upon the forest floor, side by side, and a great tree trunk was placed over their legs, pinning them down, unable to escape. And then, that first night, a great terror fell upon them. The songs of nightingales and the hoots of owls fell silent, and all creatures fled from the forest as a great hulking shadow stalks the darkness, crawling closer and closer to the trapped brothers. On that dark, moonless night, the brothers were unable to see what this nameless horror was, but they could hear it, pacing slowly through fallen leaves, snarling and snorting as it followed the scent of man flesh, and growling as it grew nearer and nearer. Then there was a silence that seemed to last an age, until a single droplet of warm drool fell upon the face of one of the brothers. The creature howled, and then tore the man apart with its teeth, ripping the flesh from his bones, as the other nine brothers listened in horror and felt the splatters of their dying kinsman's blood and entrails. The creature left the surviving siblings once its hunger was satisfied, and skulked away into the night before the break of dawn. They lay there all day, next to the nauseating ruin of their dead brother, who was now nothing more than a meal for crows and ravens to dine upon. But when the curtain of night was drawn once more, the creature returned, and a second brother was slaughtered. This nightmare returned night after night, killing each brother one by one, stretching out the destruction of Volsung's bloodline over 10 nights of terror. Back at King Sigurd's hall, there was laughter and merriment as the king and his men celebrated their victory, but his wife Signy devised a plot to rescue her beloved twin brother Sigmund. She carried out the duties that were expected of her as the lady of the king's household, surveying the work of her servants and slaves, and passing out instructions to each that she encountered. When she reached the great woven skeps of bees, she commanded,
"Beekeepers, as my lord husband's victory feast continues, we are in need of a great deal of honey. Gather all that your bees have made, and deliver it to me immediately."
As instructed, they brought her a vast quantity of sweet, sticky honey, and then Signy summoned her most trusted servant, who she could confide her greatest secrets to, telling them,
"I have a secret task which I require of you, dear friend. Take this honey and go to the forest where my brothers lay. Do not fear, for I ask no treason of you. All I ask is that you spread this honey over my twin brother Sigmund's body and fill his mouth with it too. Once this task is complete, you can leave him where he lies, and make sure that you flee that place before the sun sets."
The servants travelled into the woods and found that Sigmund was the last surviving son of Volsung, as the other nine had been ripped apart and devoured over 9 nightmarish nights. Sigmund was coated in honey as instructed, and then the servants fled the scene to return to their duties at the king's hall. That night, the sky was clear, and the bright moon lit up the forest with hauntingly pale silver lights. Sigmund heard the same footsteps he had heard each night whilst trapped beneath that heavy tree trunk, and for the first time, he could see the creature. It was a monstrous she-wolf, unlike any he had ever encountered, and it edged towards him, growling as it caught his scent. But then, it paused. It sniffed again as the gentle breeze caused the waft of sweet, sticky honey to drift towards the she-wolf. It approached Sigmund, looming over the man, who braced himself for the fate that had befallen all 9 of his brothers. It opened its jaws, and then suddenly lurched with its tongue and began to lick Sigmund. Its foul tongue caressed his chest, his arms and his legs, slobbering up every drop of honey that coated his body. Once he had been licked clean, the she-wolf sniffed his mouth, which Sigmund opened wide. It was filled with yet more delicious honey, so the wolf licked Sigmund's face and lips, and then plunged its tongue into his open mouth to gobble up the sweet contents. And that is when Sigmund struck. With all the force he could muster, he clamped down his teeth upon the she-wolf's tongue, which caused it to howl in agony and despair. It desperately tried to free itself, scratching at Sigmund and flailing about with ferocious power. And then, using its monstrous force, it kicked against the tree trunk that trapped the Sons of Volsung, and that lock split apart, freeing Sigmund from his forest prison. Sigmund then pulled backwards, and with his teeth alone, he tore out the tongue of the wolf, releasing a mighty torrent of blood from its mouth. The she-wolf flailed about in agony, its strength gradually failing, until it finally died. Sigmund spat out the bloody wolf tongue and ran away into the forest, the last surviving son of Volsung, saved by the clever scheme of his beloved twin sister. At the hall of King Sigurd, there was a final night of celebration, for the king was certain that Sigmund lay dead, or rather, lay in pieces, torn apart by the she-wolf. With cruel venom in his voice, King Sigurd whispered to Signy,
"My own mother has slain your brothers, the Sons of Volsung. Using the power of her sorcery and magic, she took the form of a wolf each night to tear the meat from their bones. Soon, she shall return with a tale of the foul and unmanly way that Sigmund, son of Volsung, died this night."
It sickened Signy that her husband Sigurd took such joy in the extinction of her family. But the evening drew on, the nights passed, the sun rose, and King Sigurd's mother did not return. When Signy met her worried husband, she spoke with gentle concern and comforting tones, saying,
"Dear husband, I pray nothing has happened to your mother. We shall dispatch riders to search for her, for I too am ever so eager to learn her fate."
As she left her husband, he was sure he glimpsed the shadow of a smile upon her face, but she had left the room before he could speak further to her. Signy met again with her trusted servants and instructed them,
"My brother Sigmund lives. I'm sure of it. Ride out into the forest and follow his trail. When you find him, deliver this message. The vengeance of the Volsungs has begun."
Did you know that that Jorvik Viking Thing podcast has been nominated for 2 podcast awards, the People's Choice Podcast and the British Podcast Awards from PodPod? If you've enjoyed our sagas, our conversations with experts, and our general Viking history chit-chat, then please consider voting for us. You can vote for us online at www.podcastawards.com and www.britishpodcastawards.com. Thanks for listening to that Jorvik Viking Thing podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all other major podcast platforms.
That Jorvik Viking Thing podcast is a production of the Jorvik Group and York Archaeology, hosted by Miranda Schmiederer and Lucas Norton.
Researched by Lucas Norton, produced by Miranda Schmiederer, Lucas Norton, and Gareth Henry.
Sound designed and edited by Miranda Schmiederer.